Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. Please send all your prayer requests, correspondence, and inquiries for the WIBR Warn Radio Network to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. You can find the WIBR Warn Radio on the following social sites: USA.life, MeWe, Parler, CloudHub, Tumblr, LinkedIn, Pure Social, Spreely, and Linktree. And you can also listen to our shows by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. And you can find them and also download them and pass them around to your friends, which we appreciate you doing. And you can also find Warn Radio on the following streamers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. And don't miss these posts on Warn Radio. And you can go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. The latest post is, "I am searching the reins and hearts. I am searching the reins and hearts. I am the light which penetrates the darkness and exposes the dark secrets hidden within." Do not miss these classic Warn Radio shows on warn-usa.com. Find classic Warn Radio episodes in the nav bar under Classic Warn Radio or on our front page at warn-usa.com. Do not miss this post, the Moses Series Man of God. Welcome to the Moses Series Man of God in three parts. This is a classic Warn Radio series. Man of God intro brings in the deliverer for Israel. And don't miss the Abrahamic Promise Faith series. The life of Abraham can be viewed on the context of many nations and peoples that he affected in many ways. And be sure to get the WIBR Warn Radio newsletter by going to danaglennsmith.com, where you can sign up to get the newsletter, and also visit our Christian books and resource shop, where we feature Christian books and other resources for our Visions Media. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, doing good. Getting warm.
Yes, thank the Lord.
And green.
I'm ready.
I am too. I've had enough of the other.
Yes, we have. And it wasn't really that bad.
No.
But it was long.
Yeah, it was. Well, at any rate, we're plugging along over here. Working on a lot of different projects here. And tonight we're in Isaiah, so I'm going to start this.
Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Tonight, ransom redeemed and returned. Isaiah's book, part 91. Now, you know, when we start talking about stuff like this, it sounds ransom, redeemed, and returned. It sounds like, you know, being redeemed through Christ Jesus. There's a lot of things that apply in both places, but remember, we're in the Old Covenant when we're dealing with this. But although it was during the Old Covenant that the prophets predicted about the Messiah. So the Old Covenant, you may think it's the former things and a lot of stuff, but it has a lot of voice to speak to us today, especially with Israel. And in this case, this is Judah. We've been discussing Assyria and the invasion in Babylon, and we're going to discuss Babylon again. But, you know, we've gone through all these chapters talking about judgment. Judah was not where they needed to be. And along came a king by the name of Hezekiah that took over. And God spared Judah because he was a good king. He was following what the Lord wanted. And so, you know, this is coming together. And in the last verses of the last chapter, chapter 34, we were looking at verse 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these shall fail. Not one shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded it, and his spirit hath gathered them. And he has cast the lot for them, his hand hath divided into them by line, and they shall possess it forever from generation to generation. They shall dwell therein. And, you know, the thing of it is that God's judgment is sure and certain, eventually. But when you fall away, when you have where you're not supposed to be, whether you're in the Old Covenant or the New Covenant through Yahshua, God is going to do something. You know, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Now, that can be a whole lot, since in John 3:16, the scripture says, for God so loved the world, you know, all the people on the planet. And as many as there's on the planet, that's as many as he rebukes and chastens. I mean, that's an awful lot. So, as we get into the New Covenant, you know, God still deals with us as children and deals with us as his sons and works in our lives. But the thing of it is, the tone is going to be changing. And when you look at a lot of the language used here, and you can find a lot of types, you can find its meaning a lot of figurative language here. And the wilderness and the solitary place is mentioned in Isaiah chapter 35. The wilderness shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Now, in this particular verse, Kyle and DeLeach defined the rose as a narcissus. But the derivative of it means a bulbous plant, a crocus, primrose. Now, when you really look at this, and you think about this, this chapter is not about what kind of plant is going to be there, but what it does tell you is that this is the setting. Now, Edom, of course, who betrayed their brother Judah, is never going to rise again. Doesn't mean none of the Edomites lived. It means that their particular nation is gone. They helped Babylon. Because they were wicked, they betrayed Judah. And it stood out, that type of Edom stood out as the wicked. And in today's world, we can find a lot of wickedness. We can find people, jihadists, Muslims. We can find Hindus, radical Hindus that oppress Christians, kill them, beat them up, do whatever they can to hurt them. Regular, everyday Muslims in Pakistan do the same thing, too. We have a lot of violence in the earth today. And we are in that prophetic time point, what we call the end of days. And there's just a lot of things that are going on. And so when we look at this, you think judgment. You think of what the children of Israel have gone through right now. Not today, but in this chapter, by the time they reach chapter 35. But you're going to go through 10 verses in chapter 35. That's all there is, 10. But it is 10 verses of victory. Now you see, when the children of Israel returned from Babylon, and I've said this before, and people that don't understand misinterpret. But see, the children of Israel, when they came back from Babylon after 70 years, they did so with God's blessing and Him bringing them back. And he got Ezra the priest to teach him the law again. They were building the temple, and he told them, don't despise the day of small things, meaning their beginnings. It's not going to be as good as the other temple, but don't despise it. It's a beginning. And so they had to learn to do the relationship again with God. But as they did, they knew why they had been sent into captivity. That was the judgment. So under the old covenant, when they came back, there was that God's grace there bringing them back. His mercy. And he was going to teach them again what they needed to do to please him. And over time, they did learn that. And then, of course, when Yahshua came, there became a new covenant. And so, see, there were those under the old covenant that totally pleased God, and they were right with God the whole way. Joshua was one of them. Moses was another one. They were looking forward to what was coming. And they died before the new covenant got instituted. But this is where the scripture says, and he led captivity captive. Because when they died, they would go into what is called, what is referred to as Abraham's bosom. And the Lord would gather them because they were good. They did what was right under the old covenant. Now in the new covenant, we have that established through Yahshua. And in Romans, we're going through Romans 11, talking about why God hasn't forsaken Israel. But you see, when you go through as much as Israel went through in this Isaiah, and as much as Isaiah had talked to him from the very first chapter, you know, 34 chapters practically of judgment and what's happening and what they were doing wrong. And I mean, it's one of those things that you get it. You know, 30 chapters. Now, this is 35, so 34. And we've got to go, I think it's 65, 66 chapters. So more than half the book or about half the book, has been dedicated just to warning Israel, in this case, Judah. Because when you talk about the lost tribes of Israel, they fell before Judah. And they had 10 tribes, and because of the way that they got invaded, there was a lot of intermarrying and bringing those they conquered back into their own land, and the lost tribes of Israel got scattered among the nations. And of course, there's a whole other teaching on that referred to as Ephraim. Nevertheless, so now in 35, you know, what you see is a change. Kylan DeLeach refers to this as this. The whole chapter, this is 35, in every part, both in thought and language, a prelude of that book of consolation for the exiles in their captivity. Not only in its spiritual New Testament thoughts, but also in its ethereal language, soaring high as it does in majestic softness and light. The prophecy has now reached the highest point of its development. See, whenever you have judgment, there's two outcomes. The first outcome is you die, and if you don't die and you survive because you're wicked and you don't repent, you go to Sheol. The other one is, whether you live or die, you're obedient to God, you did what you should have been doing, and so you'll go to Abraham's bosom. Now, when what we're looking at, and the reason Kyle DeLeach says this, is when you look at the language, when you look at how this is written, it just lifts you up. And because by the time the judgments came through Israel, and you had the Assyrians come through first and stopped at the gates of Jerusalem, and they were defeated. But the second time when Babylon came through, everybody got messed up. It was a mess, and the children of Israel were taken captive. Of course, they left some in the land. They'd leave some to work the land. They'd leave a dictator, you know, someone that they appointed to oversee the place, leave some men, and away they went. And, you know, if you think about America, it reminds me a lot of America because we're not where we need to be. America has lived in the fruits of blessing. But folks, we're going the other way. You see, Israel forsook the Lord. Did those things that weren't right. They lost the blessings. They went through chastisement by the Lord. They were overrun by their enemies. They were finally overrun and taken captive by their enemies, and they were that way for about a generation, 70 years. 70. Now, some people put a generation at 40 years. I don't. I don't care whether it's easy to see that the judgment went 70 years, and in normal speak, even from Scripture, 70. But see, that doesn't mean everybody's going to live 70. We've got people today living to be 120 or more. So the thing here is that God is in charge. And so you have the people here that are living in land that faced judgment, and everything's going to be a mess. In the wilderness, being a desert, there's no springs or waters. They had a barren, as they call a steppe, a barren grassland with no trees. But what it says here is the wilderness and the solitary place. In other words, there's nothing there. shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Now see, there is a lot, a good amount of prophecy concerning Israel even coming back in the land in 1948. And it was a desert then. Even the people that lived there thought it was a desert. But there is no doubt that when Israel took it over, they began to work the land, and it blossomed. And there's definitely prophecies to that. And so we see here the figure of a righteous blessing. Now, it's not that they're perfect. It's just that God's grace came through. The time has been up. They're not going to be in bondage anymore. God sent them away for a certain time. They're coming back, and they're going to come back to Jerusalem. And when I think of this, coming back to Jerusalem, I think of another scripture about going to Jerusalem when everything is over, rejoicing all the way as you go to the gates of Zion, and where all the redeemed are gathered, and they're just flooding towards Zion, redeemed. And so what a glorious day that will be. I mean, we're talking about, especially after what's coming right now, the major tribulation, the wrath of God tribulation. We know from Revelation exactly, a lot of things that are going to happen. But when you picture the healing, and of course Ezekiel, when he writes of his temple, and he writes of the water that comes out of there and how it flows, we see a healing water coming out of the throne and going out into all the waters, healing all the waters, bringing fish back to, it's the oceans and seas will be filled. And when that healing starts going through the earth and touching the land immediately changes and becomes blessed again. And there's only a few little points in there about taking so long to revive the land where it looks like a nuclear explosions had gone off because of radiation being there. And we see this in places too. But you see here, you have Israel coming back. And the wilderness is still the wilderness. Nobody's worked it. They've been gone for 70 years. The grassland, if there's been any cattle, who's going to care? It's somebody else's land. You just do whatever you want with it. But when you get the owners back, they can see right away. And it's just the same thing where it says here, the wilderness and the barren grassland is going to be glad for them, and the desert's going to rejoice. We see the same kind of talk and language when we talk about the curse devouring the earth, and we talk about all those things that are going to be performed, and that is healing, and that all of creation, as it says in the New Testament, groans for redemption. And you have this language as if these very plants and all of nature is alive, and it has some sort of intelligence where it can recognize. And so it longs for that redemption. And, they don't have the intelligence we do. But what God put into them is the same thing. If you take a plant and you put water on it, it will revive, and the green will be greener, and the color of the flowers will be brighter, and it's as if it's saying thank you, and I'm alive now. And this is the same thing when God's when it turns into a blessing, everything around begins to come alive. Because indeed, the curse, Isaiah chapter 24, devours the earth. That's what he says in chapter 24, Isaiah's apocalypse. And while many people call it, you know, global warming and, you know, carbon house gases and all the rest of the stuff they blame, they don't blame sin. But that's what the problem is. The sin in the world, you know, because of the fall of man, but because of the propensity of those who fell now are sinners. You're not a sinner because you sin. The reason you sin is because you're already a sinner. See, the onus is what you already are. You're already a sinner that needs to be saved by grace through faith. And when you look in the world, you know, we need to be alive again. We need to see the things blossom with blessing. And America has in times past. Now, I had talked to someone not too long ago who said, I was telling them what America used to be. And they said, when was America ever great? And I told them. Because if you look around and you see where everybody in the world wants to come, they're coming to America. Why? Because America is free. America people can live peaceably. America, you can actually have a nice car. You can have a house. You can work at a job. You can get along. You don't have to be afraid. Now, that was until the Democrats got in and opened up everything down south to where no, you know, anybody can come in. But there was a blessing at one time on this nation, and it was a people who sought God. And when that ends, then the curse becomes what it is supposed to be, that which destroys and takes things, because you have forgotten the Lord God. And that's exactly what happened in Israel when they forgot God. The, you know, your crops didn't do as good. You know, and when you did get a good crop, you would find that the locusts would come and eat it all up. You found that you didn't get it rain the way you should have because you had drought. This is because there's a curse. That's because you've forsaken the Lord. This is as much an influence and correct in prophecy and what God will do as night and day comes and goes. It's going to be that way. And in Isaiah is trying to tell you, just like he did in the two verses prior to this, he told you it was in the book of the Lord, and I gave you exactly what God told me to tell you. Everything's going to come to pass, and this is the way it is. And he's finishing that portion of the book, and it's judgment. He don't apologize. He just tells you this is the way it's going to be. This is the book of the Lord. You can look in there. You can read it. I wrote it down. He told me, and that's what it is. But then he begins the next verse. He says, everything's going to rejoice. Everything is going to just be glad to see the children of Israel come back into Jerusalem. Everything is just going to be wonderful. Now, you see, the problem with us, we look today and think that everything was defined by the new covenant. Everything was not defined by the new covenant. Everything was defined by the grace of God and the mercy of God and the plan they lined out. And there had to be a time where you had to lead mankind through this redemptive maze of the Old Testament. And Abraham didn't have the law. But you see, when it speaks of Abraham, he believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. So when we look in the New Testament, we can look back on Abraham as being a father of the faith, so to speak, because he believed God and it was imputed unto him. And today we believe God and it's imputed unto us for righteousness' sake because we believe what he did through Yeshua. We believe what Yeshua did on the cross. We know that he came. We know that he preached the gospel. We know these things. How do you know? Because his spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we're a child of God. We find an unknown source when you can't see an unknown source. We pray and things happen. We suffer and God delivers. If we die, God will bring us unto himself. We can't lose. Although people try to tell you there is no God. People try to tell you God is dead. You have people that are running around killing Christians thinking they're doing the right thing, but we're not. They're not. And Christ even said there will come a day when they're going to be killing you, speaking to his followers and those who believed in him. They're going to kill you, and they're going to think they're doing God a service. But believe me, the reason they do that, they do not know me or the Father. And so make no mistake, Edom represented the wickedness in this section here because of the way it treated Judah. Consummate evil. But as opposed to that, we see the wilderness here full of joy because of the blessings that are coming. And the reason the blessings are coming is because God is restoring. God is bringing back. You know, and this is the problem you have with hating Israel. This is the problem. God said he will have a remnant. And Israel will be Jew, Gentile, male, and female, all one in Christ. You know, it isn't going to pay in America for you to hate Israel. Just like it's not going to pay for you to diss the true and living God and deny Christ. Because one day his blessings will be real. We will see them. Now see, we do have blessings. But when I say blessings, I mean Yahshua will be here and we will see him. We will walk with him. We will talk with him. We will embrace him. We will see the Father. We will know the Father. We will know finally the fullness of his Spirit. We will see the vastness of everything God has been doing. And you see, the children of Israel today are still doing things out of the old covenant, and yet they can't do it all. Because they don't have, they're not doing the sacrifices. They pretty much keep the feasts. They have a whole bunch of feasts that they're keeping. Now, you know, if you go ahead to Isaiah 41, and let me read these verses to you. There's about four of them. Isaiah 41, we haven't got there yet. When the poor and needy seek water there, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in the high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it. Now you see, we're talking restoration here. The children of Israel, you know, and you take the time frame. After Assyria, there was a time for this thing to really get cleaned up and better. But the threat was over. Hezekiah was in charge. And they were closer to the Lord than they had been previously. They had a bad king and queen. And then, of course, by the time you get to Babylon coming, they had fallen away again. So the blessings turned backward to curses. Babylon came, destroyed everything, killed a lot of people, took them captive, and for 70 years they had no land. Now today the Jews are in, and this is just Judah and Benjamin and the Levites, the priesthood. There are some other tribes that have come back, but most of them are still scattered. Israel doesn't even have the whole of the land anymore. And most of the sons of Ishmael believe that Isaac got it wrong. They believe that Israel, who came out of Isaac, is wrong. And they believe that the land doesn't belong to them. Even the Gentiles, many of them don't believe that. And in the end of days, all of the earth is going to be gathered against Israel. But it's also going to be gathered against the believers as well. Because there's going to be a lot of issues here. Now, of course, the problem you run into when you begin to talk about that is because everybody in America has been taught the pre-trib rapture, been taught that they're not going to go through any of this stuff. So they're not prepared. But that's up to them. I ain't worried about it. And if you go into Isaiah 44, this is really good. A few verses here. For I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, my blessing upon thy offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am in the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord and surname himself by the name of Israel. And you have a blessing and you have a relationship. God's restoring. He's keeping. Now in verse 2 of 34, he continues, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Now you see, after everything had happened, there is the barren desert. But it's going to blossom. And the lands are going to have their glory back. The fields are going to grow. The trees are going to grow. In the middle of a desolate wilderness, the solitude, there's no water. Yet it's set against the beauty of those things that are beginning to grow. Like when we look in the first chapter the first verse of this chapter, we talk about the narciss, or the rose, or the lily, one of those that are growing now in the middle of this, reminding you the growth in the middle of all the trouble. Now, you see, you don't appreciate that if you're not a gardener, I think, or if you're not a farmer. You know, if you're a city folk, you may have a hard time. Now see, I know the difference between things that grow and things that don't grow. I know the difference. But I also can drive out here where we have instant desert practically. And I can be out there all alone night or day. And I like it out there. It's beautiful. It has its own beauty. But when you see things like around here, when it has a lot of moisture in the spring, the desert here, and there's nothing better example than the high mountain deserts. When you get a lot of water, they bloom like you wouldn't believe. Wildflowers like you wouldn't believe. It's like someone came along and just painted the whole landscape, that just threw flowers on it everywhere. And so we see the scene of the desolate wilderness, the solitude, but then you have the beauty. And of course, when you have armies running through the place and you have the people are gone, they're no longer there, who's going to take care of the houses? There's no temple left. You know, I mean, everything's beat down. Now, I've read of testimonies of what, you know, the whole area where Israel is today, how desolate it was, just pure desert. There was nobody that would want it. But now, since it's blooming and it's a regular city filled with Jews that are living there, and it's growing back, now they want to remove Israel. They want to take it back. Well, see, it isn't yours. See, there is blessings, and God is going to reach Israel. And the thing I like about this is that Kyle and Delish, when they talk about the desert, and when you see the splendor of the desert here as it's intended to be, they call it clothed alike in festal dress, when the glory of Jehovah, which surpasses everything self in its splendor, should appear. That glory, which they would not only be privileged to behold, but of which they would be honored to be the actual scene. See, we talk of heaven. We talk of the coming of the Lord. And that's a scene where we look ahead and we think about it. We think the glory that it will be. Now, see, what Kyle and Delish are saying, it's the same way here, except they're living in it. They have returned. It is over. And so this is the glory. They're there now. And I like this picture because we've had scene after scene of, you know, you have to repent. You're doing this. And, you know, and it's just like in America today. You know, we have a constant stream of negativity and evil and wickedness, perversion, and everything under the sun, and we think it's okay. We can't be civil to one another at all anymore. We have people that are trying to actually destroy our nation. America, for many, there is no hope. But yet you have people that come here thinking this is hope, when at their own place, it's worse than this place is. But see, the whole world is going to be shaken that way. In Isaiah 35, 3 and 4, it says, strengthen the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. In other words, make them strong, strengthen them. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. He will come and save you. I love this verse. You got a fearful heart, you be strong. Don't fear. The Lord comes with vengeance. The Lord is going to recompense. He will come and save you. Now remember, he's talking to the religious teachers and the guides of the people. And this is being spoken by the prophet, because he was going to line out the current blessings. Because there are certain of the people that maybe don't believe it, that are despondent, that have nothing left. They don't know where to look. They don't know where they're going to live. They don't know how this is working out. So this is what the prophet is saying. Be strong. You know, you just got out of bondage. You know, you just, God has delivered you. You get back there, and you look at the challenge ahead. You have to have faith. But see, also when I say that, strength in the weak hands can confirm the feeble knees. Now, we're living in wicked times here. And as believers in Jesus Christ, Yeshua, we need to strengthen the hands. We need to confirm the feeble knees. We have to be able to stand up like God-fearing men and women. And even our kids need to stand up. And we need to say, thus saith the Lord. We need to tell them. We need to be strong with a heart that we fear the Lord in a good way. But yet we love him and we know that he loves us. And we have nothing. If the Lord be for us, who's going to be against us? We are not to fear. Fear and unbelief are poison. And we're not here to wreak vengeance. God is coming back with vengeance. He will recompense. But if you keep yourself straight, if you keep your path before God right, he will come and save you, and he will recompense to the others what they deserve. And that goes for all the false prophets, all the false teachers, all the false pastors, all the false shepherds, and all the false Christians out there. And it also goes for all of those who are murdering, killing, stealing, and doing everything else. We have to set our path before us. We have to set our feet before us. And we need to say, we can do this. And sometimes you need to just speak to your body by faith. And I've done this many, many years ago. I had some health issues when God called me back to do some things. And I spent the longest time walking around in my house that we had at that time. It was a big house. And I could walk around in the circle. And I would walk around in the circle. And I had certain issues. And I had to move the parts of my body with those issues. And I had to speak to them by faith that you were going to get better. And they did. And I've learned over the years that God will do things. We started going and praying for people in Walmart for healing. We were doing it one day in the potato chip aisle. Praying openly, out loud. Fearful heart. We want a strong heart for God. We're not to fear. Now, Isaiah 57. Now, this is all stuff to come. It's really good stuff. Isaiah 57. This is pretty long here. And verse 14. And shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I always be wroth. For the spirit should fail before me in the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. And I have seen his ways, and will heal him. I will lead him also, and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I will create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace, to him that is afar off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I'll heal them. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Now, I got news for you today. The new covenant is that place that when God said, I'll not contend forever, he won't. He gave us his only begotten son. And now he will revive. He will heal. And for the children of Israel, he says, I've seen you. I've known your ways. And you're not always going to be that way because I'm going to heal you. I'm not going to always contend with you, Israel. I'm not always going to fight with you. Because of your iniquity, I was wroth, and I smote you, and I was wroth. But yet you went on stubbornly in the own way of your heart. But you see, God says, I see his ways, and I'm going to heal him. In the new covenant, through Christ, even the enemies of Christ are coming to the Lord now. I have seen the enemy, and I have seen their ways, but I'll heal them if they'll come unto me. But if you stay wicked, you're not going to like the outcome. But see, I love this. I create the fruit of the lips. See, the fruit of the lips in America is hate and discontent. There's a lot of that today. A lot of injustice. A lot of hatred. No civility. Just and sins. We got more sins you could shake a stick at. You got more sins in America today than on a Sunday morning after all the deacons had been in the local pub getting drunk the night before and they went into church. You have got so many sins and trouble and wickedness going on here. But if you will listen, just like if Israel will listen, he says to everyone, peace, peace to him that is afar off. And if you're not in Christ, you are afar off. And to him that is near, if you are a believer, you're not perfect and you've stumbled and you've had trouble. The Lord wants to heal you. And we're in troubled times right now. And God is not going to heal a troubled land. He's going to heal the hearts of the people if they would let him. America is not going to be saved because you put in Republicans or Democrats. America can only be taken care of if the people repent and they come unto the Lord and find that healing which he can do. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, and that is exactly why America is like that troubled sea, because of the wickedness here. And when you have a troubled sea, it cannot rest. You have waves, and the bottom is all churned up, and up here when it gets real bad, it's all muddy. High waves and white caps. They all do the same thing here. The bottom line of it is that there is a place God wants you. There is a place God wants Israel. God wants Israel redeemed. God wants Israel in the place where he can bless them. And God wants Americans in America to wake up, repent, and seek his face as never before, so that the Lord God may heal and deliver and restore. So when we read about the issues in Isaiah, when we talk about Israel, there is a lesson here not just for Israel, but for us today. If you think we're preaching at Israel, you're wrong. If you think we're just preaching at the Gentiles, you're wrong. If you think I'm trying to diss wickedness and righteous and everybody else, you're wrong. I'm bringing you the truth of God, and there's only one healer, and that is the Lord God, and he will have peace, peace to all if they will let him. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Bless those that hear this whenever they do. Help them to understand. Help them, Lord, to enjoy your presence of your Spirit and to enjoy peace, peace. They've been afar off. They've been in a troubled sea, and they need you to calm it. Just as Yahshua calmed the sea, let the blessings of our God through Christ calm the hearts and soothe the troubled soul. And let Israel, Father, be saved. Let her enemies fall away. And let thy word concerning Israel be fulfilled as we know it will. And in Jesus' name I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. Okay, Tower.
Okay, here I am. So that's a good word. It's encouraging, and we have hope.
Yeah, we do. We've only got 10 verses here. I went through two of them, but I had a lot of others that I went to.
That's not surprising. There's a lot of stuff in there.
Well, it's more.
You don't want to hurry through it.
Well, you got to get the point of the passages. Israel was being restored.
Yes, thank God.
And Israel's not the only one that needs restored.
Amen.
So, at any rate, we are on the downhill chug now. We're
yes.
in chapter 35.
Yes, we are.
And, I mean, we've got a ways to go, but, I mean, when you get to this 35, there's a difference in the tone. He wants to heal. He wants to deliver. He wants to give peace. His Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. And there's blessings on the land.
Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Hello?
Yeah.
Sounded like I lost you.
Well, it goes silent when I lift this up over here. I think it's some of my stuff over there. I don't know. They have that. Well, at any rate, thank you for joining us. We're going to have to get out of here.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Thank you. Whenever you are able to be here, we appreciate it. We're glad to have you. We love you. We hope the best for you. And thank you for all you do for the Lord. We appreciate it, and I know the Lord more so appreciates what you do. So good night, everybody. Take care. Be safe.
Well, don't forget to go by our website at warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Take care of yourself. Be safe. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. May he shine a path before you for a way for you to walk therein. Good night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.